Ons liefde vol hemelse Vader, ons buig voor U, want U is ons koning. Dankie dat ons U koning mag noem. Dankie dat U 'n koning vir ons is. Dankie dat ek vanmôre weer kon lees dat ek hoef nie bekommerd te wees oor môre nie. Dat U reeds weet wat my gaan gebeur môre. Dankie vir my gesin. Dankie vir my familie. Dankie vir gesondheid. En dankie dat ek kos het op my tafel. Dankie vir die geleentheid dat ons weer op die transformasietafel kan sit. Maar Here, bovenal wil ek U smeek. Hierdie land het bitter water nodig. Veral hier bo in die noorde. Ek wil U vra, sien om na U diensknegte, sien om na die natuur, sien om na die diere. Ons het die hand van seën en reën nodig. Vergewe ons sondes genadiglik. Amen.
Amen. Baie dankie om binne. So, ja, die reën sal, dit ons praat van die reën vir ons grasperkies. Maar as ouens wat reën nodig het om te oorleef, soos ons ook maar. Maar ja, dit is plekke wat baie droër is as hierso. So baie dankie om binne. So this morning we are continuing from the discussion we had started last week, where we started off originally why does bad things happen to good people. Last week, Anthony shared his portion of his testimony with us. Thank you for that, Anthony. And then we sort of ended up cutting off the 7 o'clock limit with 1 Peter 4:8-9. And I put Henry and Freek on the spot there to share with us a little bit, specifically with verse 9, whom Henry shared with us. And then we said we're going to kick off with Freek this morning, sharing with us. So Freek, if I can quickly just read for us, just to refresh our memories. 1 Peter 4, verse 8-9, and specifically the 9. So start off with, and Umbeno was praying so nicely this morning about, and it's interesting that he mentioned he separated the two, family, nou gaan ek om in Afrikaans, my gesin en my familie. You know, I've never seen that before. But, you know, there is a difference. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. And the reason why I put Henry and Freek on the spot is because, you know, they are in a position where when they travel, they often visit families and share a home and a meal with them. And, you know, I'm not sure what I'm asking for you, but I've got a suspicion that the Holy Spirit laid something in your heart. So, you know, I'm looking for that testimony of, you know, that that special love and grace when you go and visit in somebody's home. But I'm not sure what the Holy Spirit laid in your heart. So, Freek, let's kick off with you, please.
Yeah, in my situation, thanks, Menzo. It's over the last years traveling with a team with me, and most of all of them were ex-offenders, people that was in prison. So yes, when I come and visit or go up to Gauteng and I visit people there, like a few weeks ago, me and Hannah and Armand and Katie went, or they join up with me, it's very easy to go and stay with family members or friends that you know for many years, because it's only our four. But when you are a team of 10 or even more people, I remember in the days when we used to stay there in the back in your flat, You remember how they slept on the ground all over, and that lapa was packed with everybody on the chairs and that big table, and you were praying for us, and we had such a great fellowship. But to remember this, what was made it so special, I remember friends of ours in Pretoria once, him and his wife and their two children went to sleep. They actually borrowed a caravan. And they went and slept in the caravan so that me and the team could sleep in the house. And I was, I was not happy about it. But it was all about, you need to rest. You're doing the work of the Lord and you need to rest properly. I remember, again, Mensa, when we stayed there by you guys, there was always an issue with me in the bed, and we have to, you know, strengthen the bed and put bricks under the bed. And but especially this week when I visited with a friend of mine there in Langebaan, he also has a big friend, and he said, no, he made a bed. He's got a bed for me. I don't have to worry. He made it. There's a strong, strong bed and a big shower. But you see the love of people, and I need to tell you, a lot of you, you've got two daughters. Fadi's got a daughter. How many of the people has got daughters, has got sons? And never I was asked by one of them, is one of your guys, was they, why were they in prison? Yeah, the guys share their testimonies, and most of them will share, yeah, they were gangsters and they were, but what about, nobody asked me, what, isn't there a child molester behind, between them? And you know, to open your house up for somebody in the ministry, invite them in, and you know, these guys, these people, most of them were in prison. Yeah, there was times I remember in Strijsbaai, one of the team members, a young guy, stayed at a policeman's house. The guy was still in the cops, and he stole from him. He stole from me in his house. So, you know, it was, I asked him afterwards, I said, how crazy can you be to steal from a policeman? Are you still on drugs? Because, yeah, it doesn't make sense. But, and even in that situation, they kept quiet. They knew about it. They actually knew that this guy took stuff, and he stole meat and stuff from them, boltong, out of the fridge. But they kept quiet because they didn't want it to upset us and bring this unity. But I can tell you one thing. I said to my friend afterwards, after it came out, and I had to contact him to say sorry about it. And he said, no, worry, don't worry, Donnie, don't worry, it happens. I said, no. Often we think we're helping people, and this is a thing we need to talk about in weeks to come. You think you help people by staying quiet. You're not helping. You're not helping. So, yeah, for me, it's always so special to see how people open up their house, even prepared to go and sleep in a caravan, for us to rest well, to go out and I often had to coach my teams in the past to say, in the early morning hours, if we stayed in Pretoria, we had to drive to Boksburg or to other places, or to even Andrew and them there in Pretoria East, you have to wake up early. And guys are not used to be quiet. You know, they're noisy, and they make, because they're excited, they're up. And I said to them, hey, you must be quiet. We must finish quiet, because remember, this wife of this brother, this sister worked yesterday, the whole day. She came home and she made food for us to eat. She needs to rest. You need to have respect also for her, and respect her. It's her place she opens up for you. And yeah, so Benzo, it was over the years such an awesome, awesome blessing. And you know how many of the people who opened up their houses for us to come and stay in, and like that scripture said, I think it's in the Passion, foreigners, people they didn't know, because they knew me. And I had to say, okay, I trust these people. So, yeah, okay, we all trust them because we trust you. And like I said, bad things happened also. But I remember the one couple of them actually. But some of them, when we visited them, they were not in a good place with their... It was not they had everything to invite us and take it on them. You know, to give food and accommodation to so many people, and they didn't have it good in their business. Financially, they were struggling, and especially this one couple. The brother told me every time before they waited for a big business deal to come in, that was just, you know, they took time and it was always a hassle and hold back. And every time before that business came in, we visited them. It was like they had this time to sow and to give. And after we left and we reached out and we were fortunate to win souls, and we left, not long afterwards, he will contact me and say, the deal had gekomen. The deal came through. Praise God. So yeah, it was amazing. That always to, and that's precious, precious memories over the years of the people that was faithful and obedient and helped. Because every soul that was won in a prison or a school or wherever, they share in that soul because they was part of it. Right.
Thank you. Yeah, it's I remember the days when you traveled with the team. It was always such a blessing. I can see Peter has got in his background the table there where we set up and had our Zoom meeting. Good times, good times. Peter, you've got your hand up.
Okay, here we go. You know, this is something that Freek mentioned, that when the team comes, they come under his umbrella. And because we have a relationship with Freek, we automatically have a relationship with the guys. But the point I want to make, and I've actually put it on the group in Matthew 10, verse 41. It reads as follows. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. Now, every time I was first introduced into this, and it's so shocking for especially a person like myself that comes from a very troubled background. When it came to sleep over, the guy said, no, my wife and I are moving into the kids' room. You take our bed. And you know, that is the hardest thing for me to get my pride around. Because that to me is like a man's home is his castle, you know. And even today, every time I go to one of my family members, you know, his bed is my bed. And I've never got used to it. But that thing about receiving a prophet's reward, my understanding, like Freek touched on it now, it's all about honoring. And whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me, says the Lord. And so we're doing it for Jesus. And it's from Jesus that we are going to receive the reward. And so at the end, when rewards are dished out, and Jesus calls up the prophet, and he says, okay, prophet, here's all your rewards. He's also going to say, these rewards also go to this one and that one and this one and that one and this one and that one who assisted and honored and helped this man in his ministry. And so, you know, God, our God is a God who never wastes anything. Nothing from your past life is wasted, even with the feeding of the 5,000. He sent his people to pick up the scraps. And that's our God. He picks up the scraps out of your life and he uses them. You know, and what a beautiful picture. And so that's all for me now. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Now that I think of that table, there was always that, Freek, I don't know if you remember, there was always that one guy that was sitting in the corner quietly, and I wonder what he was doing there. And today we have him with us on our transformation table. Atman was always sitting very quietly, and I think Atman, maybe you can tell us, was just, may I say, checking out the situation, Atman, just learning and growing, you know, growing and it's such so beautiful to see what's happening. I want to share this thought with you while we're waiting for Atman to get his stuff sorted out. You know, we were also talking about last week. We were talking about free will, you know, and how love cannot be without free will. And the other morning when I was sitting here in my quiet time, I just realized, you know, then that you, or maybe the Spirit spoke to me. And this free will is actually a massive subject. But, you know, our biggest gift is our free will. And if we surrender that free will to God, it creates the situation where we can get back into the learning phase with God, you know. But the opposite, the surrendering your free will to the enemy, is where addiction, alcohol addiction, porn, drugs, all those things fester. You know, the opposite of our free will with God is actually a very scary place with the enemy. You know, and for a moment there, I was just looking at that situation, and that is a very scary place. You know, that we find ourselves in a because we surrender our free will to the enemy, because that's exactly what it is. You know, the moment you take that that drug, you are not in your own mind anymore. You are now the enemy's force of destruction. Atman, are you winning there?
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me now?
Beautiful, beautiful.
Sorry for that. Yeah, greetings, everyone. Yes, for me, it was such an amazing experience traveling this country and meeting up with all these people. But it all started, as Brother Peter said, with relationship. Most people had a good relationship with Freka. And when we came there, they trusted him. They didn't even know us. They didn't know our crime. They didn't ask about our crimes, but they trusted the man of God who came through his experience and their experiences with him. And interestingly now, because I traveled with Freek, most of those people even opened their doors for me now. When I'm coming in a place where I need to minister, because of that past relationship, not a past relationship, it's still a good relationship, but you know what I mean. Because what happened there allowed them to say, oh, Atman, we hear that you are here in Bloemfontein. Please, you can sleep with us while you minister here. And that is the amazing thing of the Houses of Peace. And we was praying now a lot for that. So the Lord must really open according to there in Luke, where he says, stay at one house for more houses of peace where we can really come and do the work of the Lord. And it is just amazing what I've experienced over the years, how people can really go out of their way. And as Coach testified now, when we left the place, they just report back and say, hey, the Lord came through in business. The Lord came through in our marriage life. The Lord came through in the problems with our kids. Mm. And yeah, I want to encourage people really. Yes, you must be wakey. You cannot allow anyone in your house. But when it's true people, men of God, sent by God, it is very important to keep them there. For me, it's interesting. I'm actually writing a book now, a facilitator's guide to train people who want to work in the prisons. And really, I'm touching on some of those topics. Don't want to tell everything now, but it is amazing research in going into these things of actually, there's a scripture there in Second Chronicles where the people was released, and there the Bible says that he appointed people by name to look after the prisoners and those people that is being released. So I'm really doing a little bit of research upon that and how we really can change the country in our community developing, and also consider those who was in prison. Like Freya coming to your house with 10 ex-prisoners, murders, killers, and you don't know actually why they were there, but you just experience and see what the Lord's doing through them. And that gives you the confidence and say, really, this comes from the Lord. Yeah, it was really a blessing to enter in so many people's houses and, how they treat you. I don't want even to talk about the food. That's why sometimes the guys come back very overweight and had to buy new clothes on the road. But really, it was a blessing touring around the country. And on our topic today, really, God is using people. And maybe you are the one God wants to use by just opening your door for people coming through who need to share the gospel and bring change in our country. Thank you so much, Menzo.
Thank you, Othman. Yes, I remember. You guys were staying over, and we had good morning, Henry. Welcome. We're still on 1 Peter 4 verse 9 about traveling the country and visiting in people's houses and opening their houses and loving the loving nature of that process. I remember you guys were all staying over, Freek, and somebody asked me a day or so later. He says, and how was it having so many criminal people around your table? And I thought to myself, and I said, what are you talking about? He says, you told us these guys were all in prison. I said, yeah. You know, it didn't even enter my mind. You know, we were sitting here having such a good time, and it didn't even enter my mind until that was brought up a day or two later. I thought, okay. Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit slow by nature, but it wasn't a thing that went through my mind. But because of Freek, exactly that what Atman was saying now, you know, you came as a friend with a friend that I know, you know, and that speaks, you know, it's a business principle that I love. If somebody phones me and asks me, come and visit me, or I want to come and visit you so we can do some business, I don't have to do any salesmanship. That part is already done. You understand what I'm saying? I don't have to sell what I have to sell. He's contacted me already. Yeah. Especially if he got a referral. I take my hat off to people that do cold calling, that has to take a phone and try and create business out of nothing. You know, because I don't think I'll that would be possible for me to do that. But yeah, and then Atman on the other side, you know, I see in my business that it's also my home. As a matter of fact, I spend more waking hours at work than, especially these days, than at my place where I sleep. Both of them are my homes. And, you know, you get in, I've got a phenomenal guy at the moment. It's a Malawian gentleman, Emmanuel. And he just, you know, sometimes people start come into your house so almost unnoticeable. You know, I was standing at the gate talking to someone, and the guys were busy loading things, and I handed out cool drinks to all the guys because it was hot. And this guy just came there and he stood there, and I gave him a cool drink as well. And I realized, but he's not part of the crew that was loading. He just stood there, and then he took the cool drink and he says, "Sir, don't you have a job for me?" I said, "Well, we're very busy at the moment. Pop in there by Kaylee and see if you give her your CV." And then 20 minutes later, he came walking up to me and says, "Thank you, I've got a job." I said, "Sure, that was quick. Well done." You know, and he's brought such a spirit into the factory. You know, he's a lively prophet. He calls himself prophet, and he's brought such a nice spirit into the factory. Just with his energy. I mean, he's a little guy, but he works like a big guy. You know, he works like a giant. And just with the joy that he does his work, and yeah, and that's again having somebody in your house that just brings that that different spirit, you know, the opposite spirit. Samuel, I don't know if you want to have a contribution on your traveling around, because you're also a guy that moves around quite a bit. If I could put you on the spot.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Menso. I go from my side. It was my first time to be in South Africa. So every day it was exciting for me. So I enjoy. Yeah, but my experience, something about me that I didn't even realize was now this particular brother, John. After some time, I think we were maybe sitting somewhere and eating, but then he came up with a story. He said, from the first day that we begin to travel, then he was pulling my leg. Maar in Afrikaans, as ek mag sê, hy het nou dingetjies gedoen om net vir my trap, om te kyk if there is any bitterness or whether I get angry. Kijk, omdat hierdie word nou so'n grap gemaakt, and I liked it. So he was seeking, maybe for the whole week. It's every, and I didn't know. All the time I was just laughing because I was enjoying. Maybe whatever he was trying to do, I was overwhelmed and enjoying. I was laughing. And then that day he said, "Manda, I have tried. Frigga, I have tried anything. But this man, I couldn't get him." And then something opened in me. So, wow, is this what I am? That's what I realized. Because what I know is when I set my face on something to be part of it, I do it with my heart. There is no hidden agenda. So what is coming out from me, that's what I am. Yeah, and it was so surprising to hear that from John. Because, you know, he is a man who has spent so many years in prison, and he knows how to deal with people on different stages of life. But he failed. For me, it was the first time that he met such a person that cannot be angry, where he has find no bitterness in him. Yeah, that's all that I can say. And the other thing is, until the last day, I was very happy. Yeah, and until even Sunday, I was at one of our prisons, and I was also sharing. So always, when I get an opportunity where I also preach, this experience is still fresh in me. It's something that I cannot forget. And yeah, nothing else I can add so far. So, but it was such a wonderful experience. And after all, we are still together. We have never separated. When I come back, I have not turned my back and forget the group, no. Still, and I have still plans, and also just to come and visit you. Yeah, thank you, Menso.
Thank you, Samuel. Fred, you've got your hands.
Yes, Menso, I think it's also a thing that Atman said. Some of you knows what's going on in my life at this time and a challenge that I'm facing. But in this whole thing, I'm a lot in the scripture in Matthew where the Lord says, prophets will come and they will look honest. They will sound honest. They will look so sincere. But he says, be careful. They are wolves in sheep clothing. Listening to this podcast later on, we are not saying just invite everybody that says he's in the ministry into your house, into your life, into your business. Because there are dangerous wild raven wolves out there dressed in sheep clothing. And they will sound so pure. They will look holy. They will sound holy. They will look so righteous. But the end of the... Because the Lord gave us the answer for them. Look at their fruit. Look at their character. And we are living in a time... if you go on YouTube and you just see how many ministries has been exposed in 2024 of really, if it's not sexual abuse, financial stuff, it is terrible to see. And I see Peter was saying, and he prophesied it. This is judgment will start in the house of the Lord. It is crazy to see what is happening in the church all over the world. But what people do in the darkness, it comes into the light. I need to warn people today, out of my own life, and I'll share a bit later in the coming weeks the whole story. But be careful, be careful. I want to say it again, very careful of those who look and sound and they look so honest and they look so real. Be careful, be careful, be very careful. First, maybe get some background even in your business, Menso, you know that. You guys that's got businesses. That CV looks good. Sounds good, but that doesn't tell you who's the real person. And they will come in and they will, their vision, their purpose is to kill, to destroy, because they are wolves. They are dangerous and they want to take from you. So we need to talk, especially in the new year, and I think we will discuss it today when we're going to end off this year. But We need to talk about these things because we need to cover each other. And that's what love also does, because love that keeps quiet, if I know somebody is out there to hurt you and will hurt you because of what experience I have with that person, and I don't warn you, I don't know if I love you. I need to tell you and warn you and say, be careful. Don't do business with that person. That is a wolf. He will steal, he will kill you. That is a psychopath. Don't do business with that person. So I just needed to say this because it's very dangerous to invite just people into your house, into your life, into your business that you don't really know. And it's all about coming back to that relationship, eh? Mm-hmm. So, yes, thanks, Aminza.
Rick, Peter, I see you've got your hand up. I just want to quickly add here. I also, talking about things for next year, I've written some points down here which I received in my quiet time. 2025 subject that we need to discuss, and I've actually got quite a bit of things that I've written down already. But how do we protect our children? You know, and it's along the same line. But we need to as fathers look out for our children and our grandchildren. There's so many things lurking around that wants to have them. You know, there's, in any case, we can get into that next year. Peter, you've got your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thank you for another opportunity. I want to come in on what Freek said. Over all my years of ministry, there are two laws of ministry that have to be obeyed if you want to be saved. And the first one is friendship before function. In other words, I don't care what you do. Are we friends? Do we have a relationship? You're not going to come and preach in my church. But if somebody that I have a relationship with recommends you, then based on that relationship, you can come and preach in my church. And there's another way to put that same thing, friendship before function. Ministry, whatever service, whatever's going to go down between the two of us, it flows out of relationship. No relationship, no ministry. And the minute our relationship turns into one where you want to dominate me or abuse my goodness or misuse me, then our relationship ends right there. And that's it. That's it. Just an example. This is not what we're discussing today is biblical. There's a precedent in Acts chapter 9 from verse 27. Where Paul, who we know his background, and he'd got saved. And verse 27 says, 26, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord had spoken to him, and the story goes on. And so, based on that, so Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem. And so there's that biblical precedent for this relationship that we're talking about. And the last point I want to say, over something that is so heavy on my heart, over this Christmas time, Christmas is a happy time for some people, but it's a very sad, very lonely, very difficult time for many other people. And I want to encourage every one of us to reach beyond ourselves, to go and touch somebody who is lost and lonely. And I know the dangers that Frederick's talking about, but I believe this is something different. Bring that person to your house for Christmas Day, you know, and honor them and be Jesus to them. This is just, we've got so many lonely people out there, you know, and some are eating dog food. Some haven't eaten in 3 days. I mean, you know, and I'm not talking racial stuff. I'm talking people. So thank you. This is a passion of mine, and I better be quiet now.
Never be quiet, Peter. Yes, I heard a guy that I do business with told me the other day that Christmas morning, him and his wife gets up early, 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 and then they endeavor to make the best sandwich possible. The challenge is to make the best sandwich possible, and then they wrap it up nicely, and they make, I don't know how many, he was very shy to tell me the story, but I assume it's many, many sandwiches, and then they take a drive, and they go around and pass out to the people that's sleeping in the pipes and in you know, the East Rand is rife with, if it's not going to be difficult in the East Rand to find somebody that that's up for taking a sandwich, you know, that will be an easy endeavor. But I thought, what a beautiful gesture, you know. Yes, of course, it's a form of love, but inviting somebody to come and join you at your Christmas table is a special thing. I know, Henry, when I read your messages, you often have demanding cooking and people coming to your table, visiting and coming for a meal. I personally think, and I think that's why I enjoy cooking. When me and Ken are together, we overeat and over enjoy each other's friendship. You know, it's an amazing form of love. You know, sharing a meal around a table. I and then you do it properly, Freek. You know, my mom taught me, if you make a good meal, you don't serve it in a paper plate. Yeah. You make a good meal, you serve it in a proper plate. Yeah. She takes it much farther to my frustration sometimes, because everything has to be done in the right plate, in the right cup. You know the old ladies. But there's ways to do things. And having a good meal together is always a pleasure. Yeah,
and we all can testify, Mita. We all can testify that it's quite fortunate to sit around that table. I always thought, where does this come from for this guy to love it, to make such nice food? And now I know. Yeah, it was brought up like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Rick, you know, the story behind the story is, you know, and we had at our last camp, we were 115 men at the campfire camp. And, you know, I'm at my Peter calls it my happy place. You know, when the cooking gets rough, you know, not the going gets tough, the cooking gets, you know, we sometimes manage to, well, I've timed it from where we get up. Say we had a session of speaking to the guys, from the moment we lift our behinds off the chair to the moment the first guy's got a plate of food in his hand, 20 minutes. You know, so if we cook 20 minutes, 115 guys, and you know, it gets hectic in the kitchen or around the campfire. But I love it. But it is a word that God gave me in 2000 and I think it was not 2008, 2009 at the Mighty Men. God said to me, you know, and I felt in my spirit, spoil my sons, you know, look after my sons, you know, in the food form. So yes, it's what I love. You know, and it's good. I've never had a bad meal with good friends. It doesn't matter if it's even just a bologna broiki.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be big and fancy.
Sorry, Menzo, it's a gift. In that 1 Peter 4, we read about the gift. Hospitality is Afrikaans is a mooi gasvrijheid. It's part of the gift. It's part of the body. It's part of people are. I'm not. I'll buy a pack of slop chips and put it on the table for the guys. But you have to be gifted and you have to be passionate about it. It's like how many people, one of their biggest fears is public speaking. And to some of it just comes. It's because you are gifted by God to do it. And it's grace that God gives you to do it. But so we honor the gift also. It's not just, I saw it, how you manage the guys at the camps. I remember that morning on that horse farm. We were also a couple of key guys in Bavili. And how we ate that morning was, you miss that, you remember that. But it's with the good food, was the good fellowship that came together. It was such a great atmosphere to be in, environment, if I can say it like that. So it's a gift. It's really a gift that God gave you. And all these other people, they open up their houses and that hospitality, because what does the Hebrew writer say? Hospitality or?
Hospitable.
Oh, yeah. Hospitable. I'm going to try to speak.
Hospitable. Hospitable.
Things is inspicable me. But he says you entertain people, you gave accommodation to people, you accepted people into your houses, and you don't even know if they were angels.
Mm.
You know, yeah.
But Freek, I just want to add, you know, if there's no difference between cooking a big meal or putting a pack of slop chips on the table, you know, it is the heart that you do it with.
Amen.
You know, it is the expectancy that you have from it. I mean, Peter, that photo that Peter's got behind him, that's what our campfire looks like on a Saturday evening, just before the guys start dishing.
Sure.
And the big story there is, look at those beautiful coals. Now we've already bride, and then Niku and Aster puts the coals in the center again so that we don't burn the food that has now been put out, and we dish off the fire. But if it wasn't for Niku's skill of making the coals at the right time, we had it one camp where the Holy Spirit took over, and the talking or the teaching or the preaching took longer than it should have, right? Now we make the fire beforehand, and we expect, right, at upper six, we're going to start brying, and it just didn't happen. And if it wasn't for his skill set, we wouldn't have, I mean, you see that fire that Peter is showing there? That's what it looks like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We make a massive fire. It is about the timing. And if it wasn't for his skill set of making fire, and so that we can have the coals to bry with, then we couldn't cook the food. You know, so it's that's an amazing thing about God. He doesn't give one guy all the skill sets. He shares it.
Mm.
You know, everybody around this table, even this transformation table, has got a special skill set. And if we need to accomplish a mission, God will put together all the correct skill sets for that particular mission. You know, and it's a combination of the things. Because the problem is, I personally believe, is if one of us had all the skill sets, our vanity will become a problem. We would want the glory. And the glory is not ours. The glory is God's. You know, and it's good for us to stay in check on what our gifting and skill sets are. Yeah, and understanding the limitations of it is important. But yes, it's amazing how God put these things together. You know, that's one of the things that we have spoken about as our campfire team. You know, how God put the team together. It was it's an amazing story in itself, where God gave Niku the instruction of having six men's camps a year. And then Niku said, but I cannot do this by myself. And God said to him, I'll prepare you a team. Just do the first step. That's another thing, Freek. You know, the skill set that didn't get developed overnight. It's not a flash of a puff of smoke and a flash of light, and you've got the skill set. You start making a bologna sandwich for your buddy. Then you make two. Then you put a bit of chutney on. You know, then you make 10. Then you and that's how you develop it. But you have to put your hat in the ring. You've got to step into the game. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Atman sat in the sideline for a long, long time preparing, and then carefully put his toe in the water, and I may be as naughty as saying Atman, and then you try to walk on the water, and you're doing it. So that's how it works. It's discipleship. Frederick, what we're talking about here is the guys that are coming with you on your travels. You know, you are making disciples, and it's not only disciples in the form of the work that they're doing, but also in how they get received in people's houses and in situations. That discipleship is a massive subject. And it works like that. I mean, if you could call it discipleship or appyship, appyship is such an important thing for the engineering game, because there's a lot of things you can learn in books, but ultimately you've got to put your hand at the task and not get it. And not, sorry, Manny, yes.
If I can just mention, there's several things that you've mentioned here, the old age homes and appyship and discipleship and so on. It's really important that we step out there. And that stepping out is quite a, it's something that you're scared of doing it at the beginning, because you're not used to it's easy to see somebody else stepping out, but you stepping out. So just mentioning the old age, I was like 2 years ago, I was told about an elderly person, old Tani, thinking that maybe her children will come to fetch her for Christmas, and that moves me. Just to go and spend a bit of Christmas with her. So she packs her bags, and her bags are ready. She's waiting. Maybe her children will come. She waits right up to Christmas Day, the next day, right through. In January, she unpacks her bags again. Nobody came. And man, that moves me. And you know how many people there are like that in the old age homes? They've got very few. Their children are maybe overseas, Australia, Canada, wherever. And there's nobody to just go and spend a bit of time just chatting to them and just loving them. Another old Tani from the ARG told me a little while ago. She said, you know, she herself is in the old age home. She says she's very concerned because these old people, all they have are these old kind of romantic novels, worldly romantic novels to read. They've got nothing else to do, so they sit and read through this again and again and again. She says, you know, if you can put some good Christian reading material so that they can get encouraged spiritually with their faith. You know, some of the books I've written is not just mine, but others also are testimonies of what God has done. You know how much is done with testimonies. We were just chatting last night at our Bible study group that the law, Old Testament law, is often referred to as the chetayinus, or the testimonies of God. And that's because so much of it is just testimonies of what God did. The New Testament, John writes and says, what we've seen with our eyes, what we've touched with our hands, what we've experienced ourselves, that's what we write to you. So the New Testament is also filled with testimonies. Testimonies are a tremendous thing, and books that are written just with testimonies of what God has done. Do you know how encouraging that is? And to take books to people in the old age homes, to read and to encourage. That's something that will be read over and over again by all the people in the old age home. It can change their lives. Even if nobody's there, they can Salvach. They can join in with this person who's writing about what God has done and think, well, if God can do that to those people, surely he can do something with me, you know? Somebody phoned me just 2 weeks ago, or so 3 weeks ago, and said she wants to, she looks at they're living in a secure complex and all these security guards that are there. She feels that she'd like to do something for them. Can I get 80 books together that they can order and give out to these security guards? And so I said, well, I think the best thing is the Besnedes van die Hart, Circumcision of the Heart book, because it starts with very basic Christian things and give it out to them. They can do Bible studies in their homes with other people and so on. It can go very far. So she's ordered 80 that I've got to quickly prepare. But, you know, there's somebody just doing what they can. They can't write the books. They can't, you know, maybe it's personally go out, but they can give a gift, you know, an old age home. You can go and give gifts in Pretoria. I've had people saying to me, you know, have you got some of the old books? We'd like to give gifts to different old age homes in our area. So I said, yeah, you know, I've got some older books and newer books that I'm prepared to let go, whatever, at minimal prices. But I'm not trying to advertise myself, but here's a way in which you can step out and do something beyond what you usually do, but you can really touch the lives of people who otherwise would sit in that old age home, nobody coming to visit them. They just eat their meals and whatever they do, and they're lonely. We understand that. Our children are all in New Zealand, and our grandchildren, we'd love to be with them. But instead, we invite people to come to us and spend time, Christmas time, inviting them, come have a meal with us. And so give out instead of just feeling sorry for yourself, you know, give out. Somebody was speaking to me the other day and just crying and feeling sorry for himself. I said, stop feeling sorry for yourself. You go and do something for somebody else. So they just adding a little input there.
Thank you, Mindy. Yeah, a wise man taught me, if you want good friends, be a good friend.
Be one.
Yeah. If you want to stop feeling sorry for yourself, go out and be a nice guy. It's gonna heal real quickly. You know, so it's almost the instantaneous healing from your sorrow. Just go out and be nice. Yeah, it works very, very well. I mean, yes, the books is a beautiful gift because you can immerse yourself in your own story with somebody else's story and testimony. And I think you just triggered my thought for next week. Let's do that. I think, Freek, we're going to call it next week our last session for 2024, if you agree with me. And let's prepare each of us, please, if you don't mind, maybe just a 5 minute or so testimony, so a nice story, you know, that happened, and we'll go around the table and we'll share a little bit of these stories. I think it can be a nice morning. If that's okay with you guys, just give me a thumbs up. Is that good?
I'm not going to be available next week. We've got some missionaries from Malawi, people we haven't seen for many years that are coming. They'll be with us in that time. But I will put something out on the transformation table of at least some of the books and so on that I'll make available, so that you can have something that you can discuss if you want. But unfortunately, we will not be able to join next week.
Thank you, Henry. Thank you. Yeah, the Malawians are an interesting crowd at the moment. I've got quite a few Malawians there by me, and I'm really enjoying their company. You know, they are kind-hearted people. My experience. There's hope for Africa if the Malawians get around more, and so on and so forth. Yes.
Can we perhaps share communion next week?
That's a good idea. That's a great idea. So I'll put it out there that the guys just prepare the, what is the correct way of saying it, Peter?
Emblems.
Prepare the emblems. Okay. Yeah. I heard elements. Okay, so it's emblems.
Elements is good.
Okay.
Both are fine. Yeah.
Okay. That's a, will you lead that for us tomorrow, next week, Thursday?
Yeah, we don't have to have a long thing, you know. We just are celebrating what God has done with this group and where he's going to take us. It's just a thanksgiving, honoring of the Lord.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. So I think we'll call it a meeting. Thank you very much for joining in. I think we had a fairly strange discussion this morning, but it was a good discussion. It's good to hear everybody's stories. I'm sure there's many more stories of traveling around and I remember, Friek, you said that it's important that you get rest because you're on your mission. My first camp that I organized, arranged many years ago, Johnny Lowe was one of my speakers. And he got there and he said, the first thing he asked me is, Menza, where am I sleeping? So I said, no, I've got you at a very nice place here. And he says, you see that old train, there was a train carriage in the corner of the property on the other side. He says, can I sleep there? I don't know if it's even occupiable. You know, I don't know what it looks like inside. He said, no, it doesn't matter. He just wants to be a part so that he needs to just be a little bit a part to be at peace. I said, yeah, I can arrange it. And then he explained to me how important it is for when you're on your mission field, that you have some time to be at peace and just spend some time with God and draw your strength and your power for the, because it's a battle. It's a real battle. It's not, I can see, Freya Quinai, when I see you at the end of a, yeah. You know, when you've been out, you're tired, you are spent, you know, it's been taken out of you.
Yeah,
that's Mbeno, cool. You've got your hand up. Sorry, Peter. Sorry, Fred. Mbeno?
Mendo, yes, thank you. Just a question, and you don't have to answer it now, but maybe something for early next year. I've been trying to follow up. Where do we stand with Time to Rise? Are you still involved? What's happening there? Is there any progress? What is the program right now? What are they doing? If you can give us some feedback, maybe early next year, I will appreciate that.
Okay, good, Benno. Yes, the short answer is the guys are very busy in the administrative systems of the government. But I'll give you some more feedback. Maybe I'll get us somebody to come and speak to us and bring us a little bit up to speed of what's going on. But yes, there's the network is embedding itself into many parts in education, in law, in all aspects. But I'll do that. I'll get us somebody to come and give us a bit of feedback, maybe Arnu or so. Yes, absolutely. Good. Shall we call it a morning? Thank you very much, everybody, for joining in. And then next week we'll share some testimonies. I think it'll be a great morning. Everybody's going to get put on the spot. Everybody. Except for Menri. Menri is not with us. We'll give him a gap. Thank you very much. Thank you. Have a good week. See you next week.